Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly is here. The Bucks season, the NBA season is here as well as, 22 and a half hours from now. We will have NBA basketball tipping off in Boston. And the Bucks, last year they played in that game, ring night at Fiserv Forum against the Brooklyn Nets. This year they get to wait until Thursday against the 76ers, game number two for Philadelphia, who we mentioned the season tipping off tomorrow. You got the Sixers and the Celtics as your first game of the season. And the Bucks take on those Sixers Thursday night in Philadelphia. Back home Saturday, or I should say home Saturday, for the home opener against an interesting Houston Rockets team. We'll get to all of these teams a little bit later in the show, as I'm sure most Bucks fans have already done. You start to go through the win total over-unders to see what do they think of the Bucks, where do they think the Bucks are going to finish. Do I think the Bucks will win more games than people are predicting? Will that be first in the Eastern Conference? We'll get into all that a little bit later in the show. Also hear a little bit from practice from two guys who could have a pretty big opportunity for the next few weeks. Marjon Beauchamp and Jordan Wara, both potentially vying for more minutes early in the season. Because remember, you brought in Joe Ingles as your biggest move in the offseason. Now, you could argue the biggest move was basically retaining everybody and bringing the band back together for one more tour. But your big addition was Joe Ingles from the Utah Jazz, who's recuperating from an ACL tear. There is no firm timeline on when you can expect to see Joe Ingles back. He did tell us on media day, look, I had the surgery, I forget what date, sometime in February, I think early mid-Feb is when he had the surgery. I had the surgery on this date, so if you want to do the math, you can kind of figure out what we're thinking of when I'll be available to take the floor. Sounds like it's going to be January-ish, late January, maybe February. Maybe you hold him out through the first half and he's back after the All-Star break, where you get him a little bit of time leading into the All-Star break, and then you just hit the ground running in the second half of the season. But January, late January, that would be 12 months out from the ACL tear. And Joe Ingles, to me, is the guy that is going to be very, very interesting, first of all. But he may be the, holy crap, does this guy actually swing a lot in the Bucks season to determine how far they go? Because obviously, Giannis is going to be the best player on this team. Chris Middleton is going to miss some time early in the season. We do not know when he'll be back. I am inclined to think it's going to be a couple of weeks, maybe mid-November-ish. We'll start to learn some more as the season finally gets here and games are starting to be played. But we know about the big three of Giannis and Chris and Drew. There's a lot of hype around Marjon Beauchamp, and again, we'll hear from him momentarily here. But Joe Ingles, to me, is the guy that allows the Bucks, if he's the Joe Ingles that he was with the Utah Jazz, allows the Bucks to play a little differently and really juices up the offense, especially in the half court. Now, think back to the Bucks losing to the Boston Celtics. We can all point to, and I'm sure we all have, the injury to Chris Middleton and saying, look, if he's healthy and if we have our entire squad, it's hard not to envision this Bucks team beating the Celtics at full strength, considering they took Boston to seven games without home court, without Chris Middleton. And yeah, Boston had their injury issues as well with Robert Williams. But we did see some of those warts in the postseason. I think Grayson Allen took the most of the beating from Bucks fans. One that I'm looking at right now. Grayson Allen was the guy that took a lot of lumps from Bucks fans, but it went beyond Grayson Allen. It wasn't just the struggles that Grayson Allen had. It wasn't just the fact that we didn't see Javon Carter. There was no real facilitator. And you saw what Giannis did after an all-time performance in the NBA Finals in July of 2021, coming back 10 days after we thought his knee was obliterated and he was not only not going to play in the Finals, but may not play in all or most of what ended up being last season. And then Giannis turns in a performance for the ages, is the finals MVP, leads the Bucks to a championship. What he did against the Boston Celtics, as crazy as this is to suggest, was even better than what he did in the finals, because Giannis really dragged that group to Game 7. Jrue Holiday had to move up a level. And not to kind of cross-pollinate the sports here, but to borrow phrases from hockey and thinking about lines, Grayson Allen had to move up a line. Jrue Holiday even had to move up a line as well, because you needed somebody to fill that void of Chris Middleton as the half-court bucket getter. Jrue is not an ideal fit there. Grayson Allen against the Celtics is not an ideal fit there. Wesley Matthews is not an ideal fit there. Pat Connaughton is not an ideal fit there. The Bucks just didn't have that answer. And yet, because Giannis was still unstoppable against the best defense in the league, best regular season defense we had seen in years, best playoff defense we'd seen since the Bucks the year before, Giannis was still able to carry that team to a Game 7. But you left that series saying, look, we need more shooting. We need more shot creation. We need somebody that's going to help us in the half court. And if Joe Ingles can be 80% of the guy that he was the last 3 years in Utah, when the Jazz, much like the Bucks, were kind of the class of their conference in the regular season, that is. If Joe Ingles can be 80% of that guy, that changes a lot here. Just the presence of Chris Middleton changes a lot of things for Grayson Allen and wipes that memory away for a lot of Bucks fans. And you're not asking quite as much from Jrue Holiday. You're not getting that high usage rate, and he's not your second leading scorer or the guy that you go to when Giannis is triple-teamed and double-teamed. So that's going to be big if Joe Ingles can be that guy, and I think you're going to slowly ease him back into the mix for a couple of reasons. He's getting old. He's in his mid-30s. Big, major injury and surgery that he's coming off of, so you want to take your time there. But the importance that he brings, if he can give you those solid minutes, changes a lot for this Bucks offense, not only for his shooting ability, and I know we mentioned, hey, he changes things and haven't actually mentioned how. His shooting ability, you saw Pat Connaughton last year, catch high, keep high, they call it, where you catch the ball around your head and it just goes right up. Pat Connaughton started to perfect that. Joe Ingles was the guy that actually perfected it prior to that. So now Pat Connaughton gets to kind of sit under the tree and learn a little bit more from Joe Ingles there. He adds that shooting, especially in the corners. But what I'm most looking forward to is the two-man game between Joe Ingles and Giannis. He was deadly in the pick and roll with the Utah Jazz. And you think about Giannis, who is as deadly as it gets in the pick and roll, and now you add in a Joe Ingles. We saw Chris and Jrue interchangeable. When you run that two-man game with Giannis, it's nearly impossible to stop. Joe Ingles is another element there, and just his overall play creation, passing ability, finding the open man. When you think about some of these lineups that you can throw out there with a Joe Ingles, with Giannis, with Chris, with Grayson Allen on the floor, with Brooke Lopez as a stretch five, it's starting to feel like a different roster, but it's going to take some time to get there. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us here on Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. And a question of the night that I threw out there on Twitter, we will get to that when we return. As I mentioned, we'll hear from Marjon Beauchamp and Jordan Wara, and that is injuries. Chris Middleton is out indefinitely, going to miss some time. Pat Connaughton out about 3 weeks. Joe Ingles, as we just mentioned, you think it's going to be January-ish. So you look at the wing, there's a lot of minutes presumably open in the immediate future. Who is the guy that figures to benefit most from these early season injuries that the Bucks are dealing with? 855-616-1620. That's the number to get in touch with us. Weigh in. Tell us who you think has the biggest opportunity here to open up the season for the Bucks. We'll get you up to date on the poll question results and hear from Marjon Beauchamp and Jordan Wara after this. It's Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
It's Bucks Weekly here on WTMJ here until 9 o'clock this evening. The Bucks season tips off Thursday night in Philadelphia. Bucks and the 76ers, 6:30 tip time, 6 o'clock. It's when you can expect to hear myself and Dave Kane on these airwaves statewide on the Bucks radio network. But before we get to Thursday, we still got to figure out who's going to take over some of these minutes that are going to be open with no Chris Middleton, no Pat Connaughton. Mentioned no Joe Ingles. The other one we did not mention, you did not see Wesley Matthews at all in the preseason, and he's good to go, everything that we've heard from Bud. But again, talked about the veteran and the age of Joe Ingles. Same can be said for Wesley Matthews, and also Wesley Matthews' importance is tenfold in the postseason versus the regular season. So there is no reason to exhaust Wesley Matthews here in the regular season. And that's the interesting part about this Bucks roster is another guy that I think took his share of harsh criticism from Bucks fans was George Hill. I will just say this. Listening to George Hill on Media Day was very illuminating to hear everything that George Hill was going through last season. Obviously, he went through his share of struggles, and the numbers were not anywhere near what we saw from George Hill last time he was in a Bucks uniform, and really the version of George Hill that we had seen the last few years. Think about the guy who was a 50% three-point shooter here, went to Oklahoma City, did the same thing, went to Philadelphia, essentially did the same thing in the regular season, but it was just a lot different last year from George, and as we heard from Christmas Day, shortly after Christmas Day onward, the injuries just really, really started to mount. And not only injuries, these were far more severe than I think we knew or assumed. Would feel tingling in his fingers, in his arm, in his neck. Suffered a stinger. Said when I would fight through screens or get any type of harsh contact, I would feel that shoot down my spine. There were times when he would have a tingling sensation in his hands from that issue that he had in his, I think he said C5 that he was dealing with the vertebrae. So George Hill's a guy that kind of sat back quietly and took it all, went through his struggles last year, and said he even thought about retirement, but ultimately that's not how I wanted to go out. I am not saying that George Hill is going to be the sixth man of the year, but that was a pretty steep drop-off. So I am curious to see how George Hill looks this year. And to tie it back to the Wesley Matthews thing, the luxury that the Bucks have, despite the injuries to Chris and to Pat and to Joe Ingles, is with guys like Wesley Matthews, with guys like George Hill, and especially once this team gets to 100% health, you have more than enough depth where you do not need to lean on any of these guys for heavy minutes. You can choose to say, George, when we're full strength, you're not going to play in back-to-backs. We're going to give you off a game every three or four games that we play. You can do the same with Joe Ingles. You can do the same with Wesley Matthews. Obviously, not ideal to do it this early in the season with the injury situation, but that's how this Bucks roster looks, and that's why I'm interested to see George Hill going into this season. But to go back to the wing position and to say, okay, no Pat, no Chris. With no Chris Middleton, you knew this could be a big opportunity for Jordan Ward. Maybe it's Marjon Beauchamp. The Pat Connaughton situation expedites that and really, really opens up the door even more so. So if you're a guy like a Marjon Beauchamp, what does this mean for you?
I feel like I've, it's finally feel real, and I'm an NBA player, and, you know, I got to hold myself, professionally now and stuff like that. So I feel like I'm growing on and off the court, but some things I like about Milwaukee, you know, the fans, definitely the fans, you know, they show a lot of love and really just like, you know, how everything's close and, you know, the downtown is be like crazy on game days and I heard and stuff like that. But really just, you know, the culture here is amazing. I feel like a lot of people say like you won't find like a better culture over here. So, man, it's lovely.
He's excited for the season to be here, and that last part I thought was the interesting part is, you know, a guy like Marjon Beauchamp, who was not a top five recruit. We've long documented and heard his backstory of the personal issues that he went through, the lost year plus dealing with COVID and seasons being shut down, playing at junior college, playing in the G League, and now eventually finding his way to the NBA, there's an added maturity there for Marjon Beauchamp for everything that he went through. And here in that last part where he talks about the culture in Milwaukee, he's not the first player we've heard reference that, but when you look at the makeup of this team, it really does seem like it's an ideal spot for Marjon Beauchamp to kind of slowly come along and figure out the NBA and learn how to fit in with a team contending for a championship. And speaking of maturity, Jordan Wara is the guy. Prior to the Marjon Beauchamp draft pick, you would have said, well, no-brainer. Jordan Wara slots in there at the three. He gets a majority of those minutes. We know he can score, so let's see what else he can do with a heavy minutes load. Had that 30-point game against the Bulls, regular season finale, not this past season, but the one prior. Had a couple of other big offensive performances the last 2 years. But we know with Jordan Wara, it's not on the offensive side. We know he can score. We always hear from Coach Budenholzer and his staff, make winning plays without scoring the basketball. That's what's going to determine how much of a chance Jordan Wara gets here early in the season. And you know, to that end, he says he does feel like he's a different player.
I think honestly, it's just more so just the hustle and effort all around, just playing a lot harder than I have in years past. Not just on offense, but on the other side of the ball, running in transition. Not just chucking up shots. Trying to find people on offense when I'm playing with those guys, and obviously still learning. Hopefully, like I said, it'll translate into the game and I'll be able to help the team out.
So Jordan Wara specifically says not just chucking up shots, which again is going to be big for him. We know you can score. You got Giannis, who might lead the league in scoring this year. You don't need Jordan Wara to be scoring 25 points, even with no Chris Middleton. We need Jordan Wara to facilitate his teammates and to play a little more defense. And he's already pointing that out and saying, look, I feel like I'm a different player now. I know I have to approach the game differently. And again, the culture and the veterans on this team that we talked about aiding Marjon Beauchamp, it's been the same thing for Jordan Wara.
They've all helped out, a lot. I'm getting bits and pieces of advice from all of them. They all help me out. They all see, the potential in me, talk to me a lot, whether it's going to get food here in practice, talking me up through practice, it's all been super helpful. And obviously, like I said, they're great, great vets. So just being able to take whatever I can take from them and implement it and just, take all the knowledge they want to give me has been great.
And there are two young guys that Drew Holiday has singled out a couple of times this year and last year. Jordan Wara, we heard him say it time and time again last year. Jordan's my guy. Jordan's got this in him. We know he can do it. A name we did not mention here, and really when you think about the opportunities, there's four names that come to mind with no Pat, no Chris, and essentially no Joe Ingles. There's four names that come to mind that have the biggest opportunity early in the season. You heard from two of them. I'll tell you who the other two after this. It's Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, so we know there's going to be some open minutes out there on the perimeter for the Bucks early in the season. You heard from Marjon Beauchamp and Jordan Wara. For Marjon, it's really just going to be acclimating to the NBA. And we've already heard his teammates and Coach Budenholzer say, not surprising, you hear this a lot with young players, but we've kind of had to get on him to be more aggressive and don't just be out there. And especially Marjon Beauchamp, you come into a team with Giannis, with Drew Holiday in practice, you will have Chris Middleton. It's kind of easy to become a wallflower and just sit back and watch Giannis take over. But we've heard that with a lot of young players. It's nothing new. You got to get used to being aggressive here. And that's been the big knock, not so much knock, but the big thing that's been pointed out on Marjon Beauchamp. With Jordan Wara, as we've discussed, it's make winning plays without scoring the basketball. There are two other names you can't help but think are going to benefit from having no Chris Middleton, no Pat Connaughton, and no Joe Ingles early in the season. And those names, Sandro Mamukelashvili, really ideally is a four in this league, but depending on the lineup combinations we see, maybe that means there's more minutes for Mamu to play alongside Giannis or to play alongside Brook. We saw a couple of times where the Bucks went jumbo. They did it early in the series against the Celtics, where you go with Brook Lopez and Giannis and Bobby Portis. You might see that with a guy like Mamu. You could go Bobby, Mamu, Giannis. Brook, Bobby, Mamu. Brook, Mamu, Giannis. You could go with those jumbo lines. But Sandro Mamukelashvili had another huge summer league, had a coming out party in Eurobasket playing for Georgia as well. He's a guy that's continued to show you this steady growth that you can't help but think, well, maybe we'll see an uptick in Mamu minutes early in the season. The other one is Javon Carter. Now, Javon Carter was the guy everybody wanted to see more of last year, and rightfully so. He just brought you something different. Defensively, he was pesky. He was a pest on the defensive end. He was picking up full length of the court. But we saw offensively, I think Javon Carter showed you there's a little more there than you anticipated. And he talked about coming to Milwaukee from Brooklyn, how much it revitalized him. He didn't know his role in Brooklyn. He didn't like the offensive fit that he had of just sitting in the corner. And here, we've seen him do more than that. In the preseason, you've seen him do a lot more than that. And look, especially if you take things easy with a guy like Wesley Matthews, I think you can expect to see a lot of two-point guard lineups early in the season, and maybe that means Drew Holiday is technically your two, but Drew and George Hill, Drew and Javon Carter, Javon Carter and George Hill, you're going to see a lot of those groupings early in the season. So maybe it's Javon Carter that benefits most from this. I asked on Twitter, who's going to benefit the most from this playing time, or with playing time, because of these injuries the Bucks are suffering? Any of those four names, Jordan Wara, Marjan Beauchamp, Sandro Mamukelashvili, or Javon Carter. And so far, Marjan Beauchamp leading the way with 41% of the vote. 41% for Mamu. Who would you guess is second?
My guess?
Your guess.
Honestly, say the four one more time.
All right. Jordan Wara, Marjan Beauchamp, Sandro Mamukelashvili, Javon Carter.
I would have put Javon Carter at number one. What we saw last year coming into this year, I think he gets a lot of minutes too, but Beauchamp looked great in preseason too.
I'm not surprised Marjan Beauchamp, the first round draft pick, is number one there. Javon Carter, though, to your point, Tommy, number two in this poll, 31% of the vote. Jordan Wara getting 22, and not a whole lot of love for Mamu, 6% of the vote. So Bucks fans think this is Marjan Beauchamp's opportunity to shine. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. The number to get in touch with us here. Who has the biggest opportunity here early in the season for the Bucks? Or is it somebody we did not list? And speaking of somebody coming from the bench to assume a larger role, we are going to hand out our sub of the week. We'll do that after this. It's Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
A lot of talk of Marjan Beauchamp, Jordan Wara, some talk of Sandro Mamukelashvili, but Javon Carter as well. And it brings us to the point of the show where we hand out our sub of the week, the reserve Bucks player that made the biggest impact in the week prior, and in this instance, it's throughout the course of the preseason here. Our sub of the week, the first of the season, goes to the aforementioned Javon Carter, one of six Bucks players that appeared in all five preseason games here. He averaged just under 11 points, but he did so shooting 47% from the floor and 52% on his threes, a 6-for-6 start as well in Abu Dhabi in the first of two preseason games played over there against the Atlanta Hawks. So, the first in the 2022-23 NBA season, sub of the week, goes to our pal, Javon Carter. Mention the win totals, over-unders here, and where the Bucks are slated to finish. We will take a look at that and what stands out the most. We'll get into that after this. It's Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
It is one of the favorite parts of every fan's offseason, examining the win totals, over-unders here, courtesy of our friends in the desert. So let's jump right into it here. The team in the Eastern Conference projected to have the most wins this season is the Boston Celtics. 53.5 is their over-under. Bucks are second at 52.5. Now, both the Bucks and the Celtics won 51 games a season ago. But to round out the top six here, Celtics, Bucks, the 76ers have a number of 50.5, followed by, you got a guess?
Miami Heat.
Followed by the Brooklyn Nets, picked at 50.5 as well. The Miami Heat, 48.5. That is fifth. And the Cleveland Cavaliers, who had a big offseason, 47.5. So that is how your 1-6 is projected to go in the Eastern Conference. The play-in tournament, if we just go off of the win total numbers here, would be the Raptors, 45.5, Hawks, 45.5, Bulls at 41.5, and then the New York Knicks, 38.5, leaving the Wizards, Hornets, Pistons, Magic, and Indiana Pacers out of the mix. What's really jumps out to me here is you have no teams, Eastern Conference or Western Conference, picked to win even in the mid-50s. Seeing no team picked to win 60 or more is not a surprise. 60 wins is a lot. Phoenix Suns won 64 games last year. Bucks won 60 games in Coach Budenholzer's first year. They're on pace to win 70-plus games in the second year. And then season stalled and everything just went kaput for this Bucks team. But no team is picked to win more than 53.5 wins. It's the Boston Celtics. And you have quite a few teams. Seven projected to win less than 30 games. Why is that, you ask? Well, did you happen to see the G League showdown between Scoot Henderson and Victor Wembanyama? That's why, especially with Victor Wembanyama, a generational talent. This is like LeBron James level of, man, we got to get the number one overall pick to get this guy. Spurs are projected to have the worst record in basketball. They are trying hard to tank for Victor. Brick for Vic, as they say. The Spurs traded DeJounte Murray in the offseason to the Atlanta Hawks, who had an interesting year last year, 1 year removed from facing the Bucks in the conference finals, but then kind of a lost season for the Hawks. The Pacers are the team picked to be the worst in the Eastern Conference. And look, if you're the Indiana Pacers, guys like Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, you have to assume, are not long for Indiana. We saw Malcolm Brogdon traded in the offseason to the Boston Celtics. But to me, what jumps out is you got a lot of parity in the league now. And that is the one thing for years, and especially Bucks fans, clamored for parity. Look at the NFL. Look at the NHL. Look at how all these teams have a chance to win. You never really have that in the NBA. In the 90s, it was the Jordan Bulls. In the 80s, you think about the Lakers, the Celtics, the Sixers. The Bucks were great. They never got to the finals in the 80s. Teams like the Spurs, once you hit the 2000s. Of course, the Miami Heat, when they added LeBron James and Chris Bosh. The Warriors for that five-year stretch. But we have seen parity slowly infiltrate the NBA to the extent that ever since the Warriors' run, when you had the Warriors and the Cavs four straight years in the finals, the Warriors got there one more time the following year. So their fifth straight appearance in the finals when they lost to the Toronto Raptors. But from that point forward, the year the Warriors played the Raptors, You saw different teams in both the East and West conference finals each of those 4 years. So parity has been here. But now this year, when you look at these win total numbers, low 50s, Celtics, Bucks, Sixers, Nets, for whatever reason, all projected to win low 50s. Suns, Clippers, Warriors, and Nuggets all in the low 50s as well. Timberwolves not that far off at 49. Grizzlies and Mavs not that far off either. You got a lot of parity in the NBA. We wanted it for years. It's finally here, and it really does feel wide open this season. We will take a look at Thursday, the marquee matchup for the Bucks as they open up their season in Philadelphia against one of those top-heavy teams in the East. Preview the matchup after this. It's Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
The marquee matchup opening week of the season for the Bucks, a real no-brainer. Thursday night, season opener in Philadelphia against the 76ers, a Philadelphia 76ers team that I think is going to finish with either the most or second most wins in the conference. They are perfectly constructed to, I don't know if I'd say dominate after just going on the soliloquy about the parity that has infiltrated the NBA, but this Philadelphia team is set up to be a monster in the regular season. Postseason, there's still some questions to be answered. They're the team that when you look at them on paper, you think, why am I hesitant to pick this team to come out of the East? And then you see, okay, is James Harden still close to the guy that he was early in Brooklyn, certainly in Houston? Is he 80% of that guy? Is James Harden going to be a different guy in the postseason? Is Doc Rivers going to be a different coach in the postseason as well? That's two pretty big anchors. And that's why it's, you look at this Philly team and you say, I don't know. I want to pick them. Certainly not Bucks fans don't want to pick them. But I want to say, well, this is a team that's really set up for success. But there's something that's holding me back, and it's those two things. So it is going to be a fascinating matchup for that reason. These are two teams that, if nothing else, are going to be in the top four in the Eastern Conference. Now, I hate doing the, well, this team's going to finish here, and this team's going to finish here, but talked about this a couple of times. The injuries that the Bucks have early in the season, a difficult opener, but then your schedule gets a little bit of breathing room. Houston Rockets are the home opener on Saturday. Very, very winnable game. It's a Rockets team that may not be tanking, but they're not going to be a playoff team. You have to really make the most of those types of games early in the season because schedule gets difficult later on in the season. And if you're the Bucks, you can't dig yourself a hole. Like, think back to last year. And again, injuries were a big part of that. But you can't start to dig this hole. I mentioned the schedule gets easier. You do have Brooklyn as well. But the Knicks, they're going to be okay. It's a game at home. You got to win. The Hawks, same thing. You should win that game at home. Two games against the Pistons. The series scheduling is back. I like that Pistons team, but those are two games you got to win as well. Got the Oklahoma City Thunder twice early in the season. The Spurs early in the season. The Portland Trailblazers. You got to win these games because when that schedule gets more difficult in the second half of the season, yes, you may have guys like Joe Ingles back and raring and ready to go, but it's a difficult schedule. Who knows what's going to happen at the trade deadline? You can't start to dig this hole where it's a very real possibility you don't have home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. Because going through those win totals and the over-under numbers here, Sixers or Celtics, in my mind, are going to finish with the best record in the regular season. Where the Bucks finish after that, I'm not really sure. I don't know what to make of this Cleveland Cavaliers team. I do like them. They obviously made the massive upgrade, bringing in Donovan Mitchell in the offseason, so that helps solve some of the offensive issues they had last year. And if a guy like Evan Mobley continues to take a step forward, Cleveland is a team that could push the Bucks for winning the Central Division. The Miami Heat, best record in the Eastern Conference last year. They won 53 games. 48.5 is their number this year. Why is that? Well, they lost some pretty big pieces, notably P.J. Tucker. But it is always these Heat teams that are not expected to do as much and kind of coast under the radar. Those are the teams Eric Spoelstra gets the most from. The Brooklyn Nets are the biggest wild card in all of this because you're seeing everywhere. Everybody is picking the Nets with these high win totals. Fourth best record by win total is what the Nets are projected to have in the East. You could talk me into fifth. I get the talent. I'm still not sure about the defense. I'm still not sure about the sidelines. And again, we saw what happened last year when any of those guys missed time. I could see the Nets going anywhere from fifth to eighth. Kevin Durant is ultimately the big X factor there. But there's a lot of those teams in the East. The Toronto Raptors are another team. Everybody's darling in the Eastern Conference. The Atlanta Hawks added DeJounte Murray. There's still a lot of talent there. They just gave DeAndre Hunter a lot of money. They've been linked to a guy like Jay Crowder. That's a team that's going to be really, really frisky. The Bulls, injuries kind of derailed their season last year. Not a good start, not a good omen to open up this season, but it's a Bulls team that won 46 games last year. It's a Knicks team that was in the playoffs 2 years ago. They added Jalen Brunson. 1 through 10 is going to be very competitive in the Eastern Conference, and that's why you can't dig that hole, because you could be on the outside looking in terms of no home court advantage. I do not see a scenario, barring the unthinkable, and number 34 missing a lot of time. Other than that, I don't see a scenario where the Bucks are outside of the top six. But it's going to be pretty tightly packed in the Eastern Conference this season. And the Bucks and Sixers, there's always something there when those two teams hook up. Joel Embiid and Giannis, the two franchises in general, goes all the way back to the 80s, obviously, on those great Bucks teams that could just never break through and reach the finals. Played the Sixers in the playoffs a couple of times. Think back to the draft that brought Joel Embiid to Philadelphia. Jabari Parker came to the Bucks that year. The jabbing back and forth between ownership groups. The game last year, late in the season, where Giannis single-handedly won it. Huge performance offensively. The rejection of Joel Embiid to close out the game as well. Joel Embiid versus Giannis is always must-see basketball. A couple of years ago, St. Patrick's Day, Giannis with a 50-point game, outdueled by Joel Embiid. So it is going to be an absolute cannot-miss game Thursday night for a number of reasons. It's the first game of the season, but you have the intrigue of Embiid versus Giannis. So that is our marquee matchup of the week. But this Eastern Conference, you really don't know what to expect. And this year, more than any year since a lockout year, and even then, you had a much better idea. It is very much up in the air. Season opens on Thursday night. 6:30 tip, 6 o'clock is when our network coverage begins. And we will talk to you once again next week, recap the first week of the season, and look at what's ahead for the Bucks. We'll do that next week with more Bucks Weekly.